Hello and welcome to another edition of The Center Ring, aka TCR, aka your favorite esports podcast. This episode is going to sound a little different if you haven't already noticed, because the recent Windows update, at least that's what I'm going to blame, decided to fry my soundboard's USB drive. Something happened, Brett.
It's an inside job.
I don't know.
That's what I'm going with.
I don't know whose fault it is. I don't know who to blame. But all of a sudden, it worked a couple days ago, and now it doesn't.
And technology.
The only thing that changed in between was a Windows update. So I'm going to blame that. But that won't stop us from doing the show, Brett, because there are people depending on us to produce the best esports content ever. This is The Center Ring, aka TCR, aka your favorite esports podcast, episode 118, coming to you live, pre-recorded from an undisclosed location. The date is August 15th, 2018, the time 8:57 p.m. Central Standard Time. In typical TCR fashion, we are running late. So if you are the few that actually watch us on Twitch live, you're probably used to it by now. And we'll get through it. Again, Brett could see me on webcam. I really did try everything. And the only thing I can think of, it's the USB cord. That just, my mixer is not wanting to cooperate. I'm not going to blame my mixer. I'm going to blame Windows. I think it's the Windows 10 update.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. We're going to go with that.
But Anuj is not here. It's been like 3 weeks, so he had to go on vacation. And that's okay, though, because Brett and I are still here.
That man is so independently wealthy. He's just got all the money.
It's that double income, no kids life, man. I'm telling you. It's a nice thing.
Yeah, it is.
Man, this is weird without music. I don't know. Like, I normally go off sound cues on when like I should start introducing the topics.
I don't know what to do with my hands.
Yeah, it's really weird. This is, though, it's going to be the most rough episode ever, but it's also going to be the best episode ever because we have e-news, as always, at the end of the show as we wrap up our needs to know but not enough time to talk about news. Thorin said something stupid, which got people talking. And oddly enough, I did not think we were going to be talking about Thorin today, but here we are. So we'll talk about Thorin and maybe the best way to handle yourself if you're going to be viewed as a figurehead in esports. But to start the show off, Brett, well, first off, let me pimp out. See, this is what happens with no music. I forget to pimp out all of our stuff. Follow us on Twitter at The Center Ring. If this is your first episode, I apologize. I promise. There's a lot more production value that goes in on the episode, but not this one. So it sounds just as weird for me as it does you. But let's get into some Overwatch League World Cup action, because I feel like it kind of snuck up on us. Maybe it's just because with the league ending, I've been out of the loop. I've been playing a lot of WoW, so maybe I haven't been paying attention, but I do feel like this has snuck up.
You're keeping it in the Blizzard family.
That's true. I don't venture far out of Blizzard. That is true. Nowadays, my life revolves around them.
Yeah, but it's kind of weird timing, right? Like, we're not far removed from a very long season with an awesome playoff and a big event. And it's like, here we go. A couple weeks later is a World Cup.
I don't know if it's like a scheduling issue. Maybe it's on Blizzard's. You know, maybe it falls onto Blizzard for this one, but you know, officially there is still an All-Star game happening for the league. So like the 2018 Overwatch League season really hasn't concluded yet. Like, there is still business to be had for the 2018 year for the Overwatch League, and you're doing a World Cup in between. And I get it, because look, there's a lot of teams in the World Cup this year. They're doing 4 stages. And it's supposed to, you know, all lead up to BlizzCon. And that's how they do it, right? So BlizzCon's what, in November? If I'm not mistaken.
And just to build off your, you know, the All-Star weekend, that's the 25th through the 26th of August this month. So yeah, it's like right in the middle of it.
Yeah.
Right in the middle of everything.
There's really not a whole, I don't know. It just seems weird. It seems weird. But
and some of the players are playing this week. So it's like,
yeah,
that's a busy schedule.
Lots of traveling. And even for our buddy Alchemist, who friend of the show and is like the head observer. He's the lead observer for the Overwatch League.
I
was talking to him the other day about his schedule. I was like, bro, when are we going to play? Like, we haven't played together in months. Like, we got to play WoW. We got to play Overwatch. Lucio Ball's happening. We got to get going. And he's like, yeah, I got to go to Korea. And then I got to go to, like, London. And then I got to go back to California. And he is all over the place. So, and imagine doing that, but then being a player. Like, that actually, not to say Alchemist's job doesn't matter.
Whoa. Yeah.
It matters. Where are you going with this? It's just, you know, it's a little different. It's a little different.
Yeah. Yeah, yeah.
But there is, in this group coming up, which actually starts tomorrow, so by the time anyone's listening to this, you know, it might have already started, which is fine.
Yeah,
we're not, because I'm not going to talk about, yeah, and I'm not going to talk about, like, very time-sensitive matters here. But for group Incheon? Is that how we're saying that?
Is that how you're going to follow that butchering of the name Sword?
I'm not one to go to for saying words, man.
Yeah.
But it does start, so if you're in America, it starts tomorrow at 8 p.m. Pacific time. That is 10 o'clock Central, 11 Eastern at night. So that's kind of, I mean, normally for Korea, we get hit with the super early morning times.
Uh-huh.
So it is kind of nice that this time around, 10 o'clock for us.
What time does it start?
8 o'clock Pacific time. So for Central, for us in the Central time zone, that's getting ready for bed. That's cozying up. I'm not going to watch.
I will power through. I will power through and finish it. Like, I will watch it all. I promise. I will make that promise to the listener.
So this is in Korea. It's right outside of Seoul. This is being played on patch 1.26. For those who don't know, that is the Wrecking Ball release patch. So we will see Wrecking Ball. We will see Hammond being played at the World Cup, which to me is pretty huge. And I think that can make a lot of difference, which we'll get to when we get into the teams. Uh-huh. The map pool, all maps. It's wide open. It's go time. Now get this. Hear me out here, Brett, and tell me what you think of this.
Yeah.
Each match will begin on a predetermined control map. Nepal, Lijing Tower, Ilios, or Oasis, right?
Okay.
So that's not out of the norm. You know, you play on a control map and be done with it. And that's the first one is always predetermined. Starting with the second map, the loser of the previous map gets to pick the next map from the following game types. Second map is going to be hybrid. Third map will be assault. Fourth map will be escort. If we got to go to a fifth map, which is the tiebreaker, it will be control, and it must be played on a different map that was than what was played in the first map, in the first game.
So they're not just playing four games round robin, like against each other, because okay.
Yeah, yeah. No, there's right, multiple maps on this. Right. It's a best of, I mean, it's a best of five, right? Just like the league. So I personally, though, I love that. I wish you would see that happen in the league, where it wasn't a completely predetermined map set throughout the whole season. I love the idea that the losing team gets to pick the map, because, A, I think that actually it's like bringing in the veto strategy with Counter-Strike or any other MOBA, right, where you veto heroes out and champions on what people can select.
Yeah.
So I love that idea. Anytime where you can add another layer of strategy, that gives us, people who talk about the games, one more thing to talk about and dissect, but it also adds another layer of, okay, like these teams have a chance to turn it around or pick a stronger or a weaker map compared to their favorite or their opponent.
See, and I like, it's a good start, right? Like, it was a good, it's good, it's a good start from what we had before, which was it was predetermined. We knew what map was going to be played, and that's that. I would like him to even take it a step further and just do a legit veto, like a pre, like before
so have
the match even begins,
but
like
just
you know
veto it
exactly,
out.
Exactly. Like you know, control, hybrid assault, and escort are going to be played, consecutively.
Yep.
Before each map, or maybe even do it before the game starts. Like, okay, we're going to do our map pick for control. We're going to do our map pick or our veto system for hybrid, assault, escort, and already have them like done that way. But I guess their worry is that it's not, you know, maybe we're not going to see as many maps.
Right. I mean, look at what happens in Counter-Strike. You know, you
Cobble.
Never see.
Like, all we saw for the longest time was Cobble, right? Like,
yeah.
That's all that was played. Or Dust 2 or what have you. So it's... I get it. But at the same time, there are ways to even improve on this system. But it's a good start.
Yeah. And I like that they're doing the World Cup to try to hopefully test this out for season 2.
Yeah.
Because who knows what's going to happen there. You know, we don't need to talk about it right now because it's just the World Cup, and maybe we'll wait for a future episode if we are light on topics or whatever. But there are a lot of things happening for season 2 with teams getting announced. You know, rumors that Toronto is going to get a team, Australia is going to get a team.
That one kind of throws me for a loop, like time zone wise, right?
Yeah, no,
like,
it's going to be rough, but that's something we could talk about later on because
yeah.
just. What we can expect for season 2. I heard an interview with, Boom Esports, the business of esports. It's another podcast. And our buddy Shay was on it. And he was asked the question, like, what do you want to see for season 2 for these franchises coming in and everything? And kind of made me want to talk about that. So we'll talk about that in a future episode, though. I don't want to get bogged down with season 2 Overwatch because that can fill an episode up on its own. Looking at these teams for the World Cup, I'm just going to go down the order that the Overwatch League website has them in. Starting with New York XL. I'm sorry. South Korea. Silly me. My bad.
Yeah. Hey.
I didn't mean to make that mistake.
I mean, there's some variety there. There's some variety. A little bit.
Yeah.
Maybe not in the starting lineup, but hey, there's variety.
So New York... that was actually a mistake. For South Korea, you have Mecco from New York.
Uh-huh.
Jonak, MVP of the league from New York. You have Ark from New York. Libero from New York. And I can never say this guy's name. Just say the name for me. You know who...
Korea?
No. The guy.
Sabalobi?
Sabalobi?
Sabalobi. You just have to say it fast.
Dude, you really do. Like, if you think about it, you know what makes it worse? Is I can say it fine in conversation, but if you're reading it, you're like, it's just awful. So just don't try to read it and you're fine. So what's that? 1, 2, 3, 4. That's 5 New York XL guys. Now, the non-New York people they got, though, Carpe and Fate. Carpe being from Philadelphia and Fate being from LA Valiant.
Mm-hmm.
I know it's very cliche to say that there's no way South Korea is going to lose, but there is no way South Korea is going to lose.
No. I mean, they could field their second string, and they would still destroy anybody else in this group. And there are a few good teams. There's one good team, and then there's another team that has some Overwatch League pros.
In this group.
In Russia.
In this group.
Yeah, in this group. In this group. So, yeah. If they don't make it, that would be like 100 times worse than New York losing the final.
I mean, I think they're definitely going to get out of groups. I'm saying, like, they're going to be finals, right? If they don't win the World Cup, it's going to be a disappointment. But if they don't make the finals, then you're going to even look. I'll tell you what, too. What's funny with this, right, is Fate and Carpe are kind of going into this with less pressure on them. Because, I mean, Carpe played in the finals. And, you know, LA, they were what, top four? Yeah, they made the playoffs.
Yeah.
New York, though, and no one looked at them as blowing it. New York blew it in the playoffs for the league. So if Carpe and Fate, you know, if they lose the World Cup, it's like, hey, whatever, right? Season hangover, we'll move on. But if everybody else on that team blows this World Cup, it's going to be like, so what's happening, guys? Like, is it the stage? Is it the prep work? Is it the new? Because, again, this is another big meta change, right? Is it? Because that's what everyone was saying for the finals, is that
they weren't prepared.
Oh, yeah, they weren't prepared, and it was their own fault because they didn't want to be prepared, right? It was just the way they prepped for it.
But I think for that reason, Tim, I think they're going to be prepared here because, I mean, it's known that the Korean teams adapt to metas quicker, and the finals was kind of an anomaly, right? And that defeat that they, went up against. But I think they're going to succeed in this World Cup because of that reason. There's no way they don't go into this unprepared, you know?
Yeah.
There's no way.
And this is home for them.
Because you got the pressure. You got the pressure. I mean, even the New York players have pressure, behind them. Like, if Libero is going to, there's no way that I don't Libero is going to start. But Sabalobi, he's got Carpe breathing down his neck. He's got Fleta breathing down his neck in this World Cup. Kareev, awesome diva, he's going to be breathing down Fury's neck. I mean, Fury played for London, but there is enough talent on this World Cup roster for them not to be complacent and just be like, hey, my role is here, I'm gonna play, you know. That's not the case.
Yeah.
So there's competition is what I'm trying to get at
within the roster,
within the
team
there. Yeah.
Now, this is going to bring my point up, though, from them using the changing it to the wrecking ball patch. So when you're moving on to teams like Russia, where they have two league players, and that's it. They have Mistakes and Shadowburn. Now, Shadowburn, you never even saw him in the playoffs, which, I mean, some people can say
he saw his
played.
Playing time definitely decreased, with EQO coming to the squad and kind of taking his DPS role. So, he's going into it not really playing a whole lot. Mistakes, he was part of that 10-0 stage 3. He's a big part of Boston making the playoffs and playing as well as they did. So they got that going for them. But yeah, you look at that roster and it's like, yeah. I don't see how they get out of this group.
So this is where my glass half full attitude comes into play. So the majority of their roster, and hear me out, are one of the better teams in the EU contenders. They come from CIS Hope, which is now Windstrike. It's a they just kind of bought out recently. But for the sake of the conversation, they're a top four contenders team. For the European side of it, contenders have been playing on the wrecking ball patch already.
Okay.
In a competitive setting where wins matter, they've been working on it a lot longer and been taking it a lot more serious than these other guys have been. So I'm not going to underestimate the teams full of contender players because they're a more comfortable territory than I would say South Korea is.
Yeah, and that could have been a big part of, just kind of building off that they've already played on this patch idea. I mean, that might have been a big part of what happened to New York in the playoffs, right? They the Brigetta meta started in the playoffs, and, there were teams that played that meta prior to them that already had some experience on it, and, maybe that played a factor, right? So I can see that mindset, but I just look at that Finland team and there's just too much talent on that roster.
Did you know there were so many Finns in the league?
Right? Yeah.
If you would have told me that there are enough Finnish players to fill up an entire roster, I wouldn't have been able to guess who. I didn't know half of these guys were...
You know, I pride myself. I watch a lot of Overwatch, a lot of Overwatch League, and you know I'm a big Shaz guy. I did not know Shaz was from Finland.
Like, no idea.
I had no idea.
I thought Fraggy was Swedish. I thought, yeah.
It's all in that same, you know.
It's all the same over there, right? but no, Finland's roster. You got Fraggy from Philadelphia. You have Shaz, as you mentioned, from L.A. Zappis from Florida. Big Goose from L.A. Gladiators. Linkser
great
from
Mercy,
Houston.
Good Lucio in this.
You know, Linkser can be shaky on a DPS, in my opinion. I don't think he plays nearly as well as some of the other top people that he tries to compete with, especially when you have Taimu right next to him. I think Taimu is going to be playing more of the hit scan DPS. You're going to see Taimu on Widow. Because, you know, on Houston there, Linkser tried playing Widow at times. And I felt majority of it, he would lose the Widow fights. So I think you're going to see Taimu more on the hit scan DPS there. But
it's interesting
guys...
to
go ahead.
Oh, go. Well, I was going to say just on the, you know, the topic of Widow, I'm interested to see with this new patch, if Widow is going to be played as much with Hammond, you think? Because Hammond is so mobile and so good at diving.
He can get to Widow and you're not going to headshot him, right?
Yeah.
While he's spinning around. I mean, that's going to be an insane headshot. Now, the thing that Finland has going for him is that all these guys have played together, right? Like, before Overwatch League, like, Season 0 of the Contender League, you know, before, like, Overwatch League started, right? And you actually had, like, regular old teams. The majority of these guys did play together. So they're not coming in completely cold here. They know they have each other's play styles and familiar with each other. I would say Finland's a second favorite in this group.
Oh, yeah, for sure. I mean, there is something to be said about, you know, the other teams playing, you know, the contender teams playing on, you know, the current patch. But, yeah, I'm with you, Tim. I just look at this Finnish roster and it's just... there's too much talent at the tank and DPS. I mean, even support to just say, yeah, there's a chance that they don't make it.
Other teams...
I feel like, yeah, I feel like the two teams in this group are going to be Korea and Finland, and it would be a huge disappointment if neither of those teams made it.
Now, if you recall from last year's World Cup, you did have Japan kind of be a crowd favorite when they were sneaking their way through. Japan is in this group. That's all I got.
Yeah, that's all I got. Yeah, look, I mean, I don't know a whole lot.
I'll watch European contenders. I can't watch Japan Overwatch 2.
yeah, you know, it's, you know,
I'll read you the paragraph from the website. This Japanese squad comprised entirely of Cyclops players came through the Path to Pro program after finishing first in Season 2 of Pacific's Open Division. That placed them in third in Trials to be promoted into Contenders, where they have been killing it. So, there you go.
Okay.
Yeah. Again, last year they had a crazy run. They're going to have a crazy run this year.
Yeah, because six teams are in, two are making it out. One's already decided. They really only have one other spot, and they're going to have to take it from Finland. Like, good luck. Have fun.
Yeah, right. That's really what you're doing is you're playing for second place, which is every time South Korea, you know, every time the World Cup comes around, it's just who's ever in a group with South Korea, you're just playing for second place.
Well, at least it's not the U.S.
We also have Chinese Taipei in this group.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I'm sure those guys are going to play their hearts out.
I'm and, sure they're upstanding gentlemen.
It is.
And good gamers.
You know, it's going to be interesting to see. Keep an eye out for Chinese Taipei. That's all I'm saying.
Just go on a limb and say they're going to make it. Then you just
that
instantly
is
make
all
like.
All I'm saying, keep an eye out. I mean, 10-10, their tank. And blew their DPS. They've been playing hard. They've been playing hard.
Yeah.
Insert all the generic hard sports talk now. And I believe in the pre-show, Brett, you were telling me this is your favorite team, and you're going to take the show wall-to-wall coverage with Hong Kong is also in this.
Oh, yeah, totally. Yeah, so they're going in with, what, four or less players. That's interesting. That's all I got, Tim. That's all I got. Sorry.
So, obviously, the Asian demographic teams we are not that familiar with. I would say that's okay. I would be surprised if anyone was familiar with them.
I mean, I blame them. They need to get good, right? Like,
yeah. Or American.
We'll know who you
one
are.
One of the two. Whichever one's easiest. Become an American right. And play over here so I can watch you.
Yeah.
Or get good to where I want to watch your games. But there's only so much time in the day, and I cannot spend that watching Chinese Overwatch Contender League. So, but I will watch them at the World Cup, which starts tomorrow. And I think for this group, give me South Korea and Finland. But like I said, I could see Russia getting by.
Taking some maps.
Yeah, I could see Russia taking some maps and getting over Finland.
Okay. I mean, yeah, I don't see South Korea losing a map.
No, I don't either. Given the majority of these teams, they could probably coast their way through. And like, I know for the Japanese little team information here, it was like, oh, and they are undefeated in the league with Korean teams, like five all Korean teams. Like, yeah, in contenders.
But it's not those.
Yeah.
Koreans.
Like, are you comparing five Korean teams and contenders to the MVP of the league and pretty much five out of the six rosters for the number one team in the league throughout the season?
I mean, if you want to look at it that way, I mean, if you look at the Overwatch League could probably field like five Korean teams just in that league, right?
Yeah.
So it's like, okay, there's the best five teams, and then you got the other five teams that are in Korea. It's like, okay, all right, sure.
So we'll see what happens there. But that is starting tomorrow at nighttime in America. So let us know how you think it's going to go. And we'll do this because with the World Cup, the way they have it panned out, it's conveniently throughout the World Cup and leading up to BlizzCon, it's one group at a time. So rather than doing one giant World Cup preview, we're just going to go one group at a time as they're about to start because that's the easiest way. We were going to talk about this episode also, but we don't have time with our next topic. We were going to talk about Olympics and esports and, you know, World Cup themed oriented stuff. We'll save that for another time as well, because I feel like that might be one that Anuj wants to get onto. I know he's had his opinions on the Olympics and esports, so we'll wait for him to be on here so we can also talk about that as a full-on show, maybe with actual background music so it doesn't sound ridiculous. But, you know, we roll with the punches. The show must go on.
That's right.
Let's get on to our next topic, though, because I do want to bring this up this episode. Earlier yesterday, Thorin, Duncan Shields, CSGO historian, very big in the CSGO scene, and in general, I would say Overwatch. If you've been following esports for a long time, he's had his hands in a lot of different baskets, mainly Counter-Strike, but he also does Overcast with Monty for Overwatch and stuff. I mean, he's involved. He's involved in a lot of places.
I mean, he's a general, in general, esports historian. Like, he even knows MOBAs. Like, I mean, his knowledge is vast.
Yes.
I mean, we don't doubt that. Like,
no.
The man knows esports.
Yes, and no one could take that away from him. But throughout all this, he's also had times where he will say some ridiculous things. And when I say ridiculous, I don't mean like, you know, China's going to win the Overwatch League next season, you know, or Shanghai is going to win next season. It's not like that. It's like racist, offensive, slurs, and it's just it's out of character for what you would assume someone would be. Like, he is a figurehead, right? For better or for worse, whether or not he accepts that title, I think he is a figurehead in esports. So when he goes on social media and says these ridiculous things, you know, from outsiders looking in, and I bring this up every time we bring this up, right? I'm a huge harper on outside looking in, right? Big yeah. money looking at esports. Those people who are hesitant to get into esports and thinking, yeah, I don't know, it's kind of video games, it's kids, my kids play it, I'm just not sure if it's the right thing for our product. They see this and say, that's about what I thought. That's what I thought. So yesterday, very early in the morning, 4 o'clock in the morning, does he live in the States?
I'm not quite sure, but
okay.
even if it's four here, like it's morning overseas. Like it's like 9 o'clock.
So he wakes up and just has this thought. So he tweets out Alex Jones, which for those who don't know Alex Jones, just Google him. He does his own. He's got a internet show and a podcast, and he says very ridiculous, racist,
has very interesting opinions on frogs,
hateful things, also just ridiculous and some funny. I'll give him that. But it's not funny like in the, oh, he's trying to be funny. It's, oh, this guy is crazy funny. You know, yeah. like this guy yeah. has lost it. So Thorin tweets out, Alex Jones is a G and always has been. If you're one of those people who thinks they have to say, yeah, but he got this wrong, so you can't just believe everything he says, then here's a newsflash for you. That's how you should approach literally everyone. Sad we live in an age where people judge others on third-party descriptions they've heard of who they are and their actions. Media bias wasn't as bad in the past, generally, but it still existed. Do your own research and think for yourself or forever be a puppet.
Like, look it. I don't need somebody else telling me that Alex Jones is crazy.
Mm-hmm.
I can look at videos
like I said,
and tell you.
Literally,
like,
if you don't know
in
who
an
he
instant,
is,
this dude is crazy.
If a listener doesn't know who Alex Jones is, I would love for you to do some homework. Google him, watch 10 minutes worth of his material, and you come back to us. Go in our Discord or hit us up on Twitter at the Center Ring and say, yeah, I had no idea who this guy was, and he's pretty nuts, right? Because I don't think it's going to take media bias for me to know that he's crazy. A dude who's claiming water is making the frogs gay, or Hillary Clinton is the lizard king, or Michelle Obama is a man, doesn't take a genius to figure out this guy's got some screws loose. And he's recently been in the news because Facebook kicked him off their website. Vimeo also kicked him off. All these websites are now kicking his product off their website, just basically saying, look, dude, we don't want you here. You support white supremacists, you support hate speech, and we don't want it. And so that's, I think, kind of what kickstarted all this. I don't care about politics. I don't want to get involved with, is he right? Should you listen to him? To be honest, I don't really care. If you want to listen to him, go for it. That's completely your freedom. My point is on this. When there are other big brands dropping this guy, right? And you know there's a public stigma against it. If you are Thorin, who is already struggling to find employment because of the things you have said or actions you have done, why this? Like, why did he feel the need to bring this up? And then you have guys like Decay, who are running to his defense saying, like, well, if you don't like it, unfollow it. Just unfollow him on Twitter. It's simple as that.
And that triggers me, right? Because it's like these guys, like Thorin made that post and literally said not another word about it on Twitter. Decay will say something and just strike back at somebody and instantly kill a conversation without any dialogue. These guys don't want dialogue. They just want to be shock jocks. That's what it is.
Thorin is quickly turning, I mean, I always thought he was, right? But he's really turning into the Skip Bayless of esports.
Mm-hmm.
Where
yeah, and
the only people who are listening to him and are paying attention to him are the people who just want to see the show. You know, they're just here to see the show.
Yeah, they just like to see the world burn. And, you know, and there are other people that are more outspoken and active on Twitter. I actually saw on today, Richard Lewis was like, you know what? I'm going to unban
I saw that
all the people on Twitter, you know, that I've banned in the past for being toxic. But, you know, say what you will about Richard Lewis. I mean, he does react to just things maybe he shouldn't just react to, because, you know, he's arguing with people that have like 2 followers on Twitter. But I mean, he has dialogue. At least there's dialogue. It may be one-sided at times, but
he's willing to do it.
But he's willing to discuss it with people and have dialogue. People like Thorin and Decay, they want nothing to do with that. I don't know if it's whether or not they just feel like maybe scared that they're going to look stupid, right?
Well,
and that their arguments
are
just
going to
be destroyed. But
the answer isn't just simply unfollow, right? Like, yeah, you got to look at the bigger picture here. The bigger picture is there are people who are wanting to get into esports, or you have people looking up to Thorin to be this talking head, to be a figure in this scene for CSGO or just esports in general, right? And people wanting to get involved. And then it's like you pull stuff like this where, and like you said, it's not even so much the tweet, right? It's the after effects. It's how all he said was like, sad we live in an age where people judge others. Like, and then Decay is saying, don't judge someone by what they say unless it's racist or whatever. Well, Thorin has said racist things before. You know, he has said very, very insulting things about different people. So what lie, again, this
and,
falls into...
And constantly pokes at the Brazilian scene. I mean, he said something racist about Brazilians, and then
this constantly,
and then he
falls,
constantly pokes.
And we've said it before, is this little boys' club that entire crew runs with, you know?
Yeah.
I mean, just it's not a big deal what he says, just as long as it's not racist. Well, he has said racist stuff, Decay. Well, just unfollow him then. It's like, okay. Well, Decay, what about your friend Sadakis? He was drunk. People make mistakes. It's like, where's the line then, dude? When are we finally going to hold people in these parts of esports accountable to say you represent something larger than your game now? You are not just representing Counter-Strike just for your tournament, right? This could make or break a lot more than just your career at this point in esports.
Yeah, and before, I felt like these guys, these figureheads, could say something and no one stood up to them. But now there are people that are established in the scene standing up to these guys and saying, hey, like, what the hell? Why are you saying this? You know, and if, and, you know, because other people see the forward motion, the progress, the momentum that esports is gathering, and it's becoming big boy now. I mean, there's money being thrown around. There's big boy sponsors, you know, coming into the scene, not only, you know, sponsors tied to gaming products like Razer, Corsair, you know, those type of guys, but there are outside entities outside of esports wanting to get into this scene. And those guys aren't going to deal with people, outspoken people, not even, I don't want to say outspoken, because you can be outspoken and be, you know, smart about it, but you know, they're not going to deal kindly with people saying these kind of things without any repercussion, right?
Yeah.
Like, you can't get upset that you're not going to get employment, you're not going to get jobs when you say things like this and then it's radio silence, right? Then it's like, okay, I'm going to say this and now go, followers, you know, fight my battle for me. You know, it's like, no.
And that's what they do, though. They light the fire and they go away. And, you know, and even Slasher was tweeting about it, just in general, right? He wasn't, like, calling out Thorin or anything. But he was saying just that, where was it? Those esports colleagues and game industry folk who defend or say nothing are implicit in statements that are making esports look foolish and unwelcoming. For esports and gaming to not be seen this way, or worse, as a bastion of racism, sexism, homophobia, is to speak and act loudly. I never thought I would say this, but I agree with Slasher for once. For the first time ever, I don't think he made himself look like a fool. And I 100% agree. You know, you cannot And you know, sure. Is it a big deal? No, it's not a big deal. But it's when you lump in a bunch of little deals together, right? Yeah. There's a way to say what Thorin said and not be so, you guys don't believe him? Well, it's just because you're idiots, right? Right. Okay, you're going to believe that media biased? Okay, sure, whatever. And it's like, or he could have just said, you know, it's crazy to see that in a world that preaches love and acceptance, we're ready to have Alex's Jones head on a pike without ever hearing his side of the story away from his crowd, right? Away from his followers. No one really truly knows who Alex Jones is, so it's a shame that we want to run him out of his job. Okay. So what's wrong? Like, that sounds completely different from what Thorin said.
It's the shock jock, and it's saying it in a way of being a shock jock and just speaking with conviction, right? Like, conviction when you really don't need to speak with conviction. Mm-hmm. I mean, Decay does it all the time. It's a little annoying, but why can't we just have normal, I guess my point is, just normal dialogue. We don't have to say things like we're Martin Luther King on, you know, at the podium just speaking to a giant crowd, right?
Right.
Like, well, giving this, like, big, giant speech.
I feel like the thing I just read from Slasher was a bit dramatic.
It's soapbox material. Like, they're getting on their soapbox and just, you know, speaking to the world. Like, hear me. It's like, no, can we just talk about like normal people?
Absolutely not. That's not how you get your voice heard. Slasher did like retweet this though, which I found a little interesting. Some dude on Twitter, I don't know who he is, but it's got 156 retweets, 785 likes. The E in esports stands for extremely racist, and he tweeted that, you know, after the morning of Thorin tweeting that. So it's like, again, it's not like we're just making this up, you know? There are people viewing this and seeing it, and I get it, right? You have, look, you're also going to have that contingency of the outsiders not knowing what they're talking about. Look at the NFL, all the kneeling controversy going on with the NFL. I mean, how many times do you hear people who don't watch football at all try to give their input on it, and then it's kind of like, yeah, well, that's not really correct, though, you know? Like, they're not kneeling because they hate the flag. Well, no, that really has nothing to do with it. You just that one, you are kind of listening to third parties and forming your opinion around that. So I completely understand that. But again, all that's starting because of talking heads misleading people. I don't know. I really don't know how to finish the topic up other than when is it going to be enough to where everyone's kind of like, okay, like we're done here.
I think it's starting to get to that point because there are people, and you can look at their timelines, there are reputable people that are just saying, all right, why would you say that? Like, calling them out on this stuff, and it's not there yet. I just want to see. I love esports. I sacrifice a lot to watch it because I love it, and I want to see it grow. I want to see it be mainstream. I want to see it continue this momentum train that it's on right now. But it
at this point we're about these people, one a month of some like, oh, this guy said this racist thing, right? Or
so these people aren't going to stop the progress, but they're going to slow it down. And I could live in a world without those individuals being in this scene. We don't need that. Like, we don't need it.
Yeah.
Like, I mean, if you're going to say stuff like that, you know, say it in a way that's not going to trigger people, you know, and have dialogue.
2 years ago, you could make the argument like, well, but we really do need Thorin. Right. 2 years ago, the CSGO scene needed Thorin.
Yeah.
Not so much now. You know, not you don't. You mentioned it's not going to stop progress. It might stop progress for one person, though, who was getting into it.
Yeah.
And then all of a sudden he makes a joke about something or another. And then he's like, well, maybe this isn't the scene for me. And it's like, and even right there, if one person feels like they cannot be into esports because of what someone said, then it's like right there is a problem. Like, if one person is one too many, in my book. And I'm no saint, right? Like, I...
we know.
I'm acknowledging that, but I also keep that stuff, you know, away from recording mics and Twitter, so...
Yeah, and you're already saying it to people that are into games.
Yeah, like, if you're gonna say something stupid, be smart about it, right? That's the moral of the story. Just be smart about what the stupid things you say. And you'll never get caught.
Say it, don't type it.
Exactly.
There you go.
Let's get into some e-news, though, as we are wrapping up this show with zero production. Because, again, reminder, my USB cable, I think, died for the mixer board. But I'm also willing to bet that as soon as we're done recording, I'm going to restart my computer for the 100th time, and then all of a sudden it will magically work. So I'm also fully expecting that to happen. It's a light week for e-news, really, mainly just because I haven't had as much time to look for it. Today, two very, very, very big tournaments started. You have the CWL, the Call of Duty World League Champions, whatever they call it, the CWL, though. That started today. So this is the final tournament for Call of Duty World War II. And then they're going to turn the chapter for the October... it's like October 14th, I think. The October release for Black Ops 4. So we'll see how that goes. I know a lot of pros didn't like World War II. So I'm kind of curious to see how they feel about Black Ops 4, considering from what I've gathered from the general public consent is it's okay. You know, there's tweaks to do, but again, we all know the way they do Call of Duty games, it's their beta is pretty much, no, this is the game. We're not going to change anything.
Yeah, there's not much going to change about it.
And the biggest tournament, TI 2018, the group stage started today as well for Dota. We'll talk about all that when it gets a little bit more into the tournament here.
Yeah, and we encourage the listener to watch it. Even if you don't like MOBAs, they put on a show.
I am a very, very big supporter for the TI for multiple reasons, but also it's just a great show. Like, it is just esports at its best, really. The production, everything on it. Every year I have Brett and Anuj watch it, and it's about the only time they ever sit down to watch Dota.
Yeah, but it's the only time I will watch a MOBA.
it's just that's what the TI does, right? That's how I got into Dota. Is I was on Twitch, I saw the TI, and then I was like, I'll watch it. There's a lot of people watching it, and then fell in love. So there's that. I'm trying to think of other stuff that I didn't write down. Armada? No, Mewtwo King ended up winning Smash Com. Is that right? Armada and Mewtwo King were in the finals. One of them won the tournament. For Smash Con, I did watch that over the weekend, but I can't remember who won it.
This is a live look.
Looking up who won the tournament. It was a really good finals too. Mewtwo King, right?
Okay. Yeah, sure.
No, well, hold on.
This is the most awkward ending to a show.
That website was terrible. Well, now I gotta know.
Yeah.
But this sucks. Right here. Armada ended up beating Mewtwo King. Thank you. They did restart the bracket. That's why I was confused. Mewtwo King restarted the bracket. Armada ended up winning. End of story.
Do you have anything else? Nope, I have nothing.
Good.
Can't wait to watch some Overwatch and be sleep deprived.
This show is done. I thank you all for listening. Episode 118 of The Center Ring is in the books, aka your favorite esports podcast. Kind of awkward with no outro music, but that's the world we live in for this episode, as I have 1 week to try and frantically fix whatever it is that broke. Hopefully I don't have to do anything and it just fixes itself. We will be back next week. I think Anuj will be back. I don't really know when his vacation ends. Follow us on Twitter. Yep, at The Center Ring, our website, tcr.gg. You can hit us up there. I should have brought this up at the start, but... Again, the start of the show was throwing me off. we are doing a pick'em bracket for the CSGO Major. So we'll get the link out there, and we'll get things situated to where everyone can pick it. The winner of our challenge will get something. The prize is to be decided, but there is going to be one. So make sure you sign up there. It's free, and you'll win something. What more can you ask for? But again, for 118, that is going to do it for the center ring. Thank you, guys. Thank you again, guys and girls, for listening. We'll see you next week. Music.
Elevator music. I love it.
All right, for real. Bye.